Thanks, guys, for the worship. That was amazing. Thanks for leading us into God's presence. Stephen, thank you for the invitation. As you may know, if you know anything about Links, and as you will find out as I begin to talk a bit more, I'm involved in work in ministry that crosses cultures a lot of the time. And I'm very aware that I'm doing that again this morning. As you've probably detected, I come from that, you know, heathen part of the country further south. So I do apologize for my vowel sounds. There are no subtitles to run alongside the bottom, but hopefully me wittering on a little bit at the beginning will enable you to get used to the sound of my voice. Well, there we go. I am going to be talking a bit about the work of Links, but I want to set that in a context because I really don't want the next 30 minutes to be, yeah, that gave you hope, didn't it? I don't want the next 30 minutes to be a sales pitch for Links International, because that's really not why I'm here. I want to set what I say this morning in a much wider context of us thinking about mission in the widest sense, and then towards the end, I just want to illustrate that a little bit with some stories from our work. And we'll see how many of those we get to hear. So my title is The Kingdom is at Hand, Mission Within Reach. And that is my fervent belief that mission is within reach of each one of us who follow Jesus, and then in the mission that we are involved in, that we bring the kingdom within reach of others. Jesus came into Galilee, it says in Mark 1:15, preaching the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. But actually that word translated gospel there, as I'm sure many of you will know, is exactly the same word that's used earlier on in the verse where it's just translated as good news. Jesus came, and when Jesus showed up, it was good news, not bad news. And he came and he said, the time's fulfilled. Now, in the historical context to the Jews, he was saying, you know, in terms of the great scheme of history, the time is now. But more generally, I think we can say, you know, when we have this sense of coming and carrying the kingdom, we are saying to people that this is the right time for you. This is God's time for you. This isn't something that, when we're considering the kingdom of God, you know, some people out there, if we went out into the street and we asked them about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, they would probably, a lot of them, think we were talking about something in the future, some future truth, maybe. Excuse me, by the way, I've got a bit of a cough. Maybe they might have some residual knowledge about, oh, are we talking about the end of the world? Or are you talking about what happens at some point in the future when we die and go to heaven? And Jesus came and said, no, this is not about something purely in the future. This is something now. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God now is at hand. It is within your reach. And he said, repent. And again, I don't want to devalue that word in any way, but essentially it is talking about a change of mindset, a change of attitude. Again, if we were to go to those people out in the street, you know, they might think if we were coming talking about God, this was bad news. This was about, if there's any belief at all, well, you know, this is about perhaps someone up in the sky with a big stick just waiting to catch us doing something wrong, rather than a loving Heavenly Father waiting to catch us doing something right and commending us for that. And Jesus came and said, no, change your mindset. Change the way you think about my Heavenly Father. I have come so that you can believe it is good news. And first and foremost, in anything that we are doing that is mission related, in any consideration of mission, we need to have that understanding, that awareness that what we are carrying is good news, not bad. That what we have is the best news ever. I really pray that people will come to your Alpha and discover that. that what we are carrying, that this kingdom that we represent, is the best news ever that they could ever know. And in Links, basically that is what motivates us, that we are carrying this knowledge and experience, present experience of the kingdom of God to people wherever we go. Now, that word mission that I keep using, it's a word that I find in church. People have various understandings of what we're talking about. You know, what is mission? Whose mission are we talking about? And sometimes there's a bit of a suspicion that mission is, well, first and foremost, it's for those who are quite verbose, fine talking easy. It's for those who you know, have no trouble talking about faith, and some people, so therefore that's not me because I find it difficult to talk about my faith. And if we're talking about mission in the sense of anything overseas, well, it is for a special group of people who, if we're honest, we might think are a bit unusual, and that they have a particular calling, and that's fine, because if they're doing it, we don't need to. So we will pray for them and send them off and maybe financially support them, and it's for this special group of people we call missionaries. Now, there are people who are called to a particular lifestyle, calling, ministry that will take them across boundaries, across cultures, into another land, short term, medium term, long term. And that's fantastic. But that isn't all there is to mission. And really, in this first two thirds of what I want to say is, I want to lay down some foundations which aren't to do with Africa, India, China, wherever else. They're to do with York. They're to do with where you live. They're to do with the area that this community of faith impacts. The thing is, we are involved in God's mission. Mission isn't something that God has given to the church, to you and to me, as a job to get on with to keep us out of mischief. See, I think sometimes people have that view that mission is something, well, God will give us this, you know, we don't really like it, but it will keep us out of mission, keep us out of mischief. So, you know, God's in his heaven, sat down, and, you know, he's kind of ruling the universe, but until such time as we come to be with him, then, why don't you just get on with mission, and that's your job, and, you know, it might be uncomfortable, but you get on with it, that's your job. Mission is God's mission. God is always involved in reaching out to his world. He always has been, and until the end of time, he always will be. Theologians use this Latin phrase, missio Dei. It simply means the mission of God. And we have the privilege of joining in with him in what he is doing. Let me put it like this, and I'll put it carefully, because sometimes I've been a bit clumsy in how I've said this and unnecessarily offended people. But, you see, I love worship. I'm in other contexts, I'm involved in worship leading, have been for more years than I care to remember, and I love it. I love that sense of the presence of God, just like this morning, that comes through sung worship, musical worship. And it's something very, very special. I really love it. I love that sense of the presence of God that sometimes comes at other times. It came in the bread and the wine this morning. It can come in the silence. It can come as we pray. I love the sense of community and family of being with God's people. I love the fact that most of you I've never seen before, but when I walk in here today, it feels like family. I love that. But here's the truth. If we feel that all we are here for on this earth is to experience those times of sense of God's presence, in worship or in other ways, and that sense of community and family with the body of Christ, then here's the truth. We might as well shut ourselves away and wait until we die and go to be with him, because the truth is all of those things we will have more perfectly in the age to come. That's the truth, isn't it? There is only one thing that we will not be able to engage in the age to come, that we have the opportunity to have here, and that is to engage in God's mission to his world. Then we won't have that opportunity. We'll have all those other things perfectly, but we won't have that opportunity to engage in God's mission. And so for that, if no other, I think that there's a strong argument that we should take that opportunity now. But it's not a job that God gives us to do that he's not involved in. A theologian called Chris Wright puts it like this. It's not so much that God has a mission for his church in the world. See, that's that view of mission is a job for the church. No. It's not so much that God has a mission for his church as that God has a church for his mission in this world. Mission wasn't made for the church. The church was made for mission. God's mission. Now, you have to kind of read that a few times before the nuances get hold of you, but just think about that for a second. It's not that mission is a job for us. It's that the church was made in order that God could have people joining in with him in mission in the world. But it is his mission, and he is involved in it. And at Links, we are so aware of that, that we are joining in with something that God is fully and intimately and committedly involved in. And that as we bring what we can bring, however small that sometimes seems, the fact that God's involved in it multiplies that. It's a little bit like the feeding of the 5,000, you know, where the little boy came and the disciples were saying, I'm sure it took a long time before anyone plucked up the courage to actually say, well, there is this boy here. Because it seemed so ridiculous. I'm sure the boy had to nag them quite a lot before he was taken seriously. Because 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, probably. And here's 5 loaves and 2 fish. It seems ridiculous. That's how I feel often when I go into a village in Africa and I see the enormity of the need there is there, or other places. And yet I know as we bring, figuratively, our 5 loaves and 2 fish, because we're involved in God's mission, it multiplies. It really does. And sometimes it can feel, given the enormity of the world's problems, what can we do? We can bring our 5 loaves and 2 fish. And because we're joining in with God's mission in the world, then it really does make a difference. How do we do that? Well, here's my favourite mission verse. It's probably not the one you're expecting. It's not going to all the world. It's not Judea, Samaria, the uttermost. It's actually taken from John's first letter, and it says this. This is John trying to sum up what it was like to encounter Jesus, who he calls the Word of Life. He says this, what's from the beginning? What we have heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of Life, which was with the Father manifested to us, what we've seen, heard, we proclaim to you also. What's he saying? We're saying, well, okay, so Jesus, the Word of Life, came and we heard the Word of Life. And yet Jesus stood up, he spoke, he taught, he preached, and people heard those words, and they were words of life from the Word of Life. And in our mission, there are times to talk and explain why we're doing what we're doing, and talk about this good news that we have. But it's not just about words. John says it was what we heard, but it was also what we looked at and saw with our eyes. And there's a sense, I believe, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do believe there's a sense in there of first of all seeing more generally and from afar, and then more closely examining. When Jesus came, he didn't, you see, every now and again we hear, we read of God speaking and words from heaven being heard. I kind of like, it's just the way my mind works, I suppose, but every now and again I speculate, well, why didn't God just do that? Why didn't he just speak words from heaven? You know, why doesn't he do it now? You know, every now and again, Tuesday at 9 o'clock at night, everyone, the whole world hears God speaking, I love you. He could. We read it. But it wasn't enough just for words to come. Jesus came and he could be seen. He didn't shut himself away and just issue tracts. He was seen. He could be seen closely. In fact, John says, we could even touch him. He was present amongst us. And I think this is a model for God's mission in this world. Yes, there are words to be said, but we need to be seen. We need to be close enough for people to see us closely. In fact, we need to be close enough to be touched. We need to be present. The theological word is incarnation. Jesus came out incarnated, the Word made flesh. We are those who can make the Word flesh to the people in our street, in our neighborhood, in our town. That the Word of life, life, is something that people don't just hear about, but they see it and can touch it. And I looked up that word manifested. Anyone familiar with Strong's Concordance? It's quite helpful if you don't speak Greek and Hebrew. This is what manifest means. To make manifest. Well, that's brilliant, Mr. Strong. Define the word with using the word. But it does go on, fortunately. To make manifest or visible or known what's been hidden or unknown. That's our role. The God who is invisible to so many out there, to make him and the kingdom visible and known. How? With words. With deeds. Or any other way. I love that, or any other way. I'm trying to think what any other way is beyond words and deeds, but whatever it is, it's covered. That's what we're called to do. I went to Kenya at the beginning of doing this role as CEO of Lynx and met with our partners in Kenya, Paul and Jonah. And I was trying to explain to them why I'd bothered to fly out to Kenya just to meet them, because basically that's what I'd done. And I was trying to explain that Lynx was and is a relational organization, and we don't want to just conduct relationships at a distance, not just with email or phone or whatever, but we actually want to have relationship and friendship. And I spent about 20, 25 minutes as I was walked around the town explaining this, because I didn't know if it would be a concept that would be familiar. And at the end of it, Paul, I think it was, said, yeah, we've got a saying for that in Kikuyu. And it was this. Ndugu ni makinya. Say it after me. Ndugu ni makinya. Ndugu ni makinya. There you go. You know a Kikuyu saying now. And it means quite simply this. Friendship is steps. Friendship is steps. Isn't that a fantastic summary of the theology of the incarnation and the Word being made flesh? That God didn't keep us at a distance. He didn't want to just deal with us at a distance, but out of his friendship and love took steps towards us, because you can't have friendship at a distance. You can only have friendship as you take steps one towards the other. God took steps towards us before, you know, while we were yet sinners, you know all the verses. And in our mission, we need to ndugu ni makinya to our communities, to our streets, to our towns, and yes, further afield, and be present as we take steps. We can't just do it by sending money, though money's important. in many of these poor communities that we're going to look at in just a couple of minutes. But we need to be present. We need to actually, ndugu ni makinya, take steps, because friendship is steps. What does God's mission look like? Well, very quickly, here's a verse from the Old Testament. The Lord executes justice. Oh, here we go, Old Testament God, justice, 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 judgment. Interestingly, the Old Testament concept of justice normally means justice for those who are oppressed, who are ostracized, who are in need. Justice for the poor. And here's one example of this. The Lord executes justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, sets the prisoners free, opens the eyes of the blind. Oh, any of this sound familiar? The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the immigrants. That is a perfectly valid translation of that word. Often it's translated as aliens or foreigners or immigrants. Perfectly good modern translation of that word. Interesting in this day and age. He supports the fatherless and the widow. This is God's mission. This is God's heart behind his mission. So is it any surprise then that Jesus says this? The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. Now this is from Isaiah, but it's the same as those words in the Psalm pretty much. To set at liberty those who were oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came and said, it's good news to those who need it. And it's not just words, it's very holistic. God's mission is very holistic. It's not just, if I can put it like this, and those of us old enough to remember this, it's not just saying four spiritual laws to people. It's looking at them as whole people, because that's how God regards them, as whole people. And looking at their needs in a holistic way. And so here's my question before I show you some of my holiday snaps for 7 minutes. What does that look like? What does that look like in York? What does that look like in your street? What does it look like to incarnate the good news of God to your friends, to your neighbours, work colleagues? And I'm sure you are considering those questions. I'm sure that's why you're doing things like Alpha. It's why you're going out to an old people's home, is it? That's why you're doing those things. But this is mission. Mission isn't just the pictures I'm about to show you. And let's just, if you don't relate to any of the next 7 minutes, please continue to ask that question. What does that look like where you are? So what's it like in What Links Does? Now I'm going to be very quick. We do a number of things to try and holistically carry this message of the kingdom. We work with local partners in a number of countries, a number of African countries, in India, Sri Lanka, Central America. And we partner with them in what they are doing, reaching out into their local communities. One of the things we do is community healthcare. We go and we work with a local group of people and we train them with community healthcare messages, often very simple things, things that we might have just grown up, either being taught by our parents or at school, but education is lacking, their understanding is still lacking, things to do with sanitation, hygiene, the importance of safe water, for some of the women, particularly some women's health issues, and so on. And so here's, you know, that sounds very grand teaching. This is a common setting for what we might do. This happens to be in India, but this is just a group of women who've been gathered together by local leaders because they've got time and energy and a desire to help their community, and they're being taught some of those messages in translation, as you can see. And for them to then go out into their communities and teach in all sorts of settings. So here's a group from Central Malawi. They were so successful in going out into their local community, then a neighbouring village asked them to come, and then one further afield. So in the end, they were walking over 2 hours to get to a village to do their training and dramas and so on. So we equipped with them with some bikes to help them get there a little bit faster. We teach on all sorts of issues. In many places, drink and substance abuse is a problem. If you've got very little hope in your life and certainly no means of entertainment and so on, drinking the local hooch can seem quite an attractive option. This is George. He told me, he's from Kenya. I met him last year. He had been an alcoholic for 28 years. He made a decision to turn his life around. He went to our partners, Paul and Jonas, and they ended up praying with him for him to become a Christian, but that didn't solve his drink problem instantly. But shortly after that, a Lynx team came, including Chris and Pat, a retired couple from up near Hull, with a particular anointing, gifting in talking to people with these sorts of problems. If you saw Chris and Pat, they would not, I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying, you know, they wouldn't be everyone's idea of what a missionary would look like. As I say, older, retired people, but with a real heart to see people helped. And George listened to their message and it helped him turn his life around. They advised making a group of people with similar issues, based broadly on the AA methodology. George took their materials and he realized after a few weeks that things were really better, but he also realized that, as he told me, I had so many friends who were still in the same condition I was. So he went from door to door pretty much to see them with the materials that he'd been left with, and he formed a group of, when I talked to him last year, he had 12 people in the group, all of whom have become Christians and all of whom are reaching out to their friends as well. We are seeking to find sustainable change which isn't dependent on us. George is a great example of that. So two of these people, this is a group called the Overcomers, this time from Malawi. They again were a group that would drink all day and cause problems in the village at night. Again, Chris and Pat encountered them, and they formed a group and decided to call themselves the Overcomers. Again, group of people who've made a commitment to Jesus. I'm showing you this photograph of them because it's on a patch of ground they were given by a local chief for them to grow maize so they could begin to actually have sustenance for their families, because they were starting to take responsibility for their families. When the Lynx team went to go and see it, they noticed that their maize was bigger than anyone else's. So they asked why. Have you heard about the things we train to do with pit compost? No. Not any. We haven't done that yet. It's just when we first planted our seed, every morning on our patch of ground, there was a dew that fell on our ground that didn't fall on the ground each side of us. And I've talked to other people who've corroborated that story. This is God's mission. Yeah. We do what we can do. He does what only he can do. This is the Overcomers. We come across problems like this. This was in Zambia. I was shown this was the water supply for a whole community of about 100 people. It's an open well. It was near the end of the dry season, so the water was a long way down. It took, as you can see, three women to get one bucket of water. I leant over, looked down. It doesn't show in the photograph, but there was a rat swimming at the bottom of the well, and the water looked like that. That was drinking water for them. But 100 yards away was a borehole that hadn't been repaired for 4 years because no one could afford to do it. So we did that, or enabled them to do that, which has transformed that community. We'll provide water filters. I won't talk about all of these. And this is a group of students working with, again, this is back in Malawi. They'd literally just come back. I met with them on Friday. They'd been back a few days. This is a new innovative idea that's come out of a group of students at Southampton University that I've never heard of anyone doing before. So much so, I'm not really allowed to tell you too much about it right now, but we're very excited about how it can combine fish farming and producing safe, distilled, that might give you a clue, water, and we're looking to see if this can work as a pilot and then roll it out in many places. That's a latrine. We obviously teach on that. In that particular village, the chief decided that the teaching we'd given on latrines was so important that he told the entire village that they all had so many months to build a latrine for their family, and if they hadn't done it by a certain time, he was going to fine them a goat. So they all did that. We do business development. I'm going to flick very quickly. This is a group of ladies being taught in order that they can form a committee to administer small loans. We put the money in. They administer the loans. Once we've given them the money, it's their money, and they distribute it in the community, giving small loans. £30 to £50 will enable someone to set up a business. Sometimes we take people who do teach skills. This is Leslie. Leslie is actually coming. That is my wife doing teaching. That's Lina. And Lina and Leslie and I are off to Malawi this coming Thursday, and we will be following up again with some of these similar things. Leslie wouldn't see herself as a missionary, but she knows dressmaking skills. And actually that enabled this lady, Maggie, to set herself up in business, making school uniforms. We bring what we can bring. God does what only he can do. This is David, a micro loan recipient who has grown his bakery business to the point he now has a tea shop in town that is employing others. That's in Kenya. And this is, who's this? This is Martha, who did some hairdressing skills with our partners in Uganda. She comes from an area called the Lost City. Locally, it's called the Lost City because the people there have no hope. But there's a whole group who have got hope because what our partners are doing. And this is Martha, who set herself up in business now with another girl to do hairdressing and is then passing those skills on to others. We do agriculture. This is me giving away a pig. It's the first time I'd held a pig. You can see that by the way I'm holding it at arm's length. But this is one of our partners. They've got a piggery. They give away the female piglets to the identified poor in the community so they can also breed pigs and then give pigs away. This is another partner in central Malawi growing, I think that is, some of the groundnuts or I think it's soya beans. Again, that they can then also spread the, that's helping to sustain a ministry, but also provide an income stream for others. This is a lady showing the before and after of two of maize cobs. Before, in one hand, when she was using commercial fertilizer that she couldn't really afford, so the small amount that she sprinkled on her crops just got washed away. And after, using simple and free pit compost that we taught them how to do. Poverty alleviation isn't always that difficult, you know. It can be that simple. Very quickly, vocational training. Here's some people learning skills. We went and did some workshops, and as a result of that, some of our partners decided to take that on, and this is a couple of examples of that. And here's the bit of a story about how God joins things together that we couldn't have necessarily thought of. These are people doing vocational skills, and so are these, and guess what group of people they are? The overcomers. And that's how our partners. And we do leadership development. That's a group of chiefs from central Malawi. That's some church leaders from Uganda, and sometimes church planting. This time next week, I will be in Malawi for the opening. That was the foundations of a church building that now looks like that. And next week, I have the privilege of speaking at the opening ceremony that we have managed to get involved. And I know that church isn't just going to be a, because I know the people working, that is going to be a church that then is also reaching out into the community with all of those holistic things we're talking about. It's God's mission that we have the privilege of getting involved in. As a church, you may, I'm talking to the leaders, perhaps get involved in various ways. Any of you would be very, very welcome on any of our teams. You might think, oh, I'm not sure if, oh, what I could bring. Just think about Chris and Pat. Just think about Leslie. People who thought, oh, I'm not sure what I can really bring. But how about God will use it as we bring our 5 loaves and 2 fish and seek to incarnate the good news of the kingdom and show that the kingdom really is at hand. Let me just pray with you before we finish. Father, I want to thank you for your love for us, that Jesus came and brought good news, the knowledge of you, our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for this community of faith seeking to incarnate that in this place. I want to pray blessing on them as they do that. I want to pray encouragement for them as they do that, that you are with them, that this is your mission in the world that they're joining in with. Thank you, Jesus.